I want to talk this morning on the title, Faith or Famished? Faith or Famished? You know, there's an old hymn that says, Jesus is a rock in a weary land, and a shelter in a time of storm. And you know, that is certainly drawn from the first reading today where, among other things, Elijah experiences a weary land. God gives him bread to strengthen him for the journey to the mountain of God. And you might say again, Jesus, who is our living bread, is a rock in a weary land. If you will, he feeds us in this desert so that we have strength for the journey. And so the Lord in the gospel today is trying to strengthen our faith in Holy Communion, in his presence in the Eucharist, because it's either faith or famished. Either we're going to have faith and get to his table every Sunday, or we're going to be famished. Jesus says, if you don't eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life in you. So we see today how the Lord is trying to draw them and draw us into a deeper faith in his presence in the Holy Eucharist. Now, with that in mind, let's see how the Lord, if you will, does this in four stages or four parts anyway. And the first thing I want you just to see is, first of all, that there is a focus on faith. The passage opens up with the people grumbling, or the text says, murmuring. You know, murmuring is one of those words we used to call an onomatopoeia. It sounds like what it is, amen? And so we see that they're murmuring. They're protesting. Why? Because he said, I and the living bread come down from heaven. And they murmur. Don't we know him? His father and mother are known to us. Isn't this just Jesus? What does he mean he came from heaven? And so the first thing they begin to do is struggle with their faith. And again, you notice what causes them to struggle, don't you? The Lord, they think of him only in human terms. And yet, their lack of faith is a scandal. Why? Because the Lord has given them boatloads of evidence that he is from God and is everything that he claims to be. The Son of God, that he and the Father were one long before the world was ever made, that he is the Lord come down among them, the great Messiah that had been promised. And how did he do it? Church, miracle after miracle after miracle he had worked. And what's particularly scandalous about their lack of faith is that he's just fed 20,000 people in the wilderness on 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Remember, this whole section that we're going through now started with that miracle. One of the great prophecies of the coming of the Messiah was that he would feed them with bread. Now, not only had he worked this miracle, but you know, just think of some of the things that the people in that region both heard of and saw with their very own eyes. It says, you know, I just made a little list here, but among the things the Lord has done already or will do is that he's changed water into wine. He's healed lepers. He healed the centurion's servant. He's cast out numerous demons. He's healed the lame, healed the woman with the hemorrhage, raised Jairus' daughter, cast out blindness in numerous individuals, one of them blind from birth. He's calmed the storms. First he fed 4,000, then he fed 5,000, and he's had the healing of the deaf and the mute, and he's caused miraculous catches of fish. He's raised the widow's son, and he's going to raise Lazarus. Church. Hello? And they're all hung up that, wait a minute, we know his father and mother. He can't be from heaven. You see what I'm saying? Their lack of faith is scandalous. He has given them evidence. He's fulfilled prophecies, worked miracles. And as we're going to see, the Father is also testifying in their hearts of who Jesus is. So again, over and over again, we sometimes think that the lack of faith just comes from the fact that, well, you know, people don't get it. People are a little slow. It's not just that. There is an obstinance, a refusal to believe, of focusing only on the human with no openness to the godly. So again, we see there's a focus on faith, and we see that their grumbling, their lack of faith is indeed as scandalous. So again, I'll just say to you though, because it's not just about them, this is us. Where's your focus? Is your focus on the human? And where folks come from? Who their parents were? You're saying, well, they can't be speaking God's word to me. Or do you focus on that God can speak in many and varied ways? A lot of people approach the church only in human ways. They say, well, I don't like the church. I don't like the music, or I don't like the people, or I don't like the hypocrites, or there's sin in the church, all those things might be true about something or someone. But I'll just say to you, that's only part of the church. Last time I checked, and I did check this morning, Jesus is the head of the body, the church. So the church isn't just human. The church has a divine presence and a divine indwelling. And you know, sometimes you find God in the strangest places. Yes, even among folks like us. People just like to say, well, you know, the church had crusades, or the church had a sex scandal, okay. Mea culpa, you know, we all just strike our breasts and say, we're all sinners in this church, amen? But God, you know, the funny thing about Jesus, he hung out with sinners. That's where he was found. So you see, it's just another one of those kinds of excuses. Now, I don't mean to say we shouldn't work on being a better witness, amen? But I'm just going to tell you that there are just some folks that are just looking for anything not to believe. You get the point? So, again, evidence. The Lord is giving them evidence. The Lord is showing them who he is. He's fulfilling prophecies and so on. Again, I'll just say to you, the church is a miracle. I said the church is a miracle. You say, well, what do you mean, Pastor? I say, well, look, if this thing were depending on us, you know, the church started about 2,000 years ago, and let me just ask you a question. If it was depending on human beings to continue, how long would it have lasted? 20 minutes tops, right? And here we are, 2,000 years later, miraculously still here. I tell you, all of us members have tried to destroy the church over and over again. And a lot of folks have predicted the destruction of the church. I think that Caesar thought the church would go down, and where's Caesar today? Now, St. Peter's got a place in Rome, but Caesar ain't there. Napoleon said he would bury the church. Bye-bye, Napoleon. Where's Napoleon today? The church is still here. The Soviet Socialist Republic has come and gone. I tell you, nations have risen and fallen. Enemies have come and gone. And through it all, the church remains. By the promise of God that the gates of hell would not prevail. Now, I tell you, that's evidence. And that's faith. That if this thing's dependent on human beings, we're going down. But if God is here, we're going to remain. Well, guess what? We've remained. Our numbers have risen and fallen, but through it all, the church remains. And so you see this vision. There's a focus, first of all, on faith. They are troubled that the Lord said he came from heaven. And the Lord says, look, you got to have faith. I've given you miracles. And he's that all kinds of things to show them. So the first thing we'll notice then is the focus on faith. And again, the question for you and me, what is your focus? Are you just going to focus on the human? the sinful or the passing things of this world? Or are you going to cast your gaze up to God and say, even in trials and difficulties, God can still work wonders? Now, the next thing is, the Lord spends a little time with them talking about not just the focus on faith, but the font of faith. Where does faith come from? Again, it comes from God. Listen to what Jesus said. He said, stop murmuring among yourselves. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. We're going to get to that word in a minute. And I will raise him on the last day. It is written in the prophets, they shall all be taught by God. And everyone who listens to my Father and learns from him comes to me. Now, the first thing that the Lord teaches us about faith, the font of faith, the origin of faith, is that it comes from the Father. If you have faith in Jesus, thank Abba, thank Daddy God, thank the Father, because he gave you faith in his Son. He put that faith in your heart through the Holy Spirit. The Father is the origin of your faith in his Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus says, everyone who listens to the Father comes to me. And so again, it is written in the prophets, they shall all be taught by God. Now, there's other texts, by the way, that remind us of the Father's role in our faith in Jesus. So for example, at Jesus' baptism, the heavens were open, and the Father's voice was heard, this is my beloved Son, listen to him. Again, another one from John chapter 5, the Lord says, the testimony I have is greater than John the Baptist. For the works that the Father has granted me to accomplish, these very miracles that I'm accomplishing, that I am doing, bear witness that the Father has sent me, and the Father who has sent me himself has testified in your hearts to me. Hello. If you believe in Jesus, how many of you believe in Jesus? Just say, thank you, Daddy God. Thank you, Abba, for drawing me to your Son. Thank you. Now, here comes the second teaching, though. Pay attention, because it's personal. Jesus said, no one comes to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. Now, the Greek word here that is translated, if you will, draws, more literally means drags. The Greek word is helpon, and it means to draw or to drag or to pull. And it always implies resistance on the thing that is drawn or dragged. You don't just take something, you don't just bring it, you have to drag it. Do you hear that? You see that, church? You got to drag it. It's a dead weight. You get this picture? The Greek word is a very provocative word because it implies stubbornness or resistance. The Father doesn't just bring you to the Son. He has to drag you. He has to draw you. You get the vision? Now look, I'm going to just tell you. You might think, oh, no, not me. I'm just going to tell you. We're a hard case. All of us. We're stubborn. I'll tell you why. Because we're human. And we human beings, of all the creatures on God's planet, are the most stubborn, the most stiff-necked. God well summarized the human family when he said to Jeremiah, I am sending you to a people whose forehead is brass and whose neck is iron. Come on, church. He's talking about us. Supposed to get a little indignant over that. And you might say, oh, no. I've always been a believer since I was a young kid. And talk a little more to your mother or your father. But I'm just going to tell you, the Father has to drag us. It's an effort to bring us to faith. And so then this is the central work of the Father, to draw us, to drag us to his Son, so that we can have faith in his Son and be saved. For the Father sent the Son to save the world. He so loved us that he sent his Son. He drags us to him and says, listen to him! Listen to him! You see the vision? And so the Father insisting, speaking in our heart, drawing us, dragging us any way he can to his Son and saying, listen to him. Follow what he tells you. I want to save you, but you've got to grab hold of the Savior I sent you. Follow him. Listen. Now, I want to just say that the Lord does emphasize by this word our stubbornness. But aren't you glad that the Father doesn't give up too easily? I mean, come on. The fact that you're here today, the Father didn't just tell you once. You know he didn't just tell you once. He has to tell you and me every day. You know, I want to just say that I'm here today because as a child, I had a drug problem. Now, let me just tell you what I mean by that. I heard it said that somebody else told me the same thing, that they had a drug problem, and that's why they're here today. Here's the drug problem. I had a drug problem when I was young. I was drugged to church on Sunday morning. I was drugged to church for weddings and funerals. I was drugged to family reunions and community socials, no matter what the weather. I was drugged by my ears when I got disrespectful to adults. I was also drugged to the woodshed when I was disobeying my parents, told a lie, brought home a bad report card, or did not speak with respect, or spoke ill of the teacher or the preacher. Or if I did not put forth my best effort in everything that was asked of me, I was drugged to the kitchen sink. Sometimes when I spoke badly, I had my mouth washed out in soap. And I was drugged out to pull weeds in mom's garden and flower bed and to do my chores. I was drugged to the homes of family and friends and neighbors to help out some poor soul who had no one to mow the yard, repair the clothesline, or chop some firewood. And if my mother had ever known that I took a single dime as a tip for this kindness, she would have drugged me back to the woodshed. Oh, those drugs are still in my veins. And they affect my behavior and everything I do and think. They're stronger than cocaine or heroin. And if today's children had this kind of drug problem, America might be a different place. And so the Lord says to us today, the Daddy God, our Abba, drags us to him. No one comes to me, says the Lord, unless Abba drags them. Are you glad that you had a drug problem? All right, now we've seen today, first of all, the focus on faith. We've seen again the font of faith, which is the Father. And now we look at the functioning and the fruit of faith. The Lord says here, in a very short sentence, but it's filled with meaning, amen, amen, I say to you, whoever believes has eternal life. Now, again, unfortunately, the English here doesn't really grab hold very well of the Greek. The Greek is a little more precise. And the Greeks here, the Greek word is pistuon, which means to have faith, but it's in what we call a participial form. It's a present, active participle. It means it indicates an ongoing action. So the better way to translate he who believes is he who goes on believing. Are you praying with me? You're going to see, sometimes people think, yeah, I believe, I got baptized, pointing to the past. Yeah, I answered an altar call. Yeah, my mama took me to church. Okay, that's good. That's all in the past. But the Lord says the one who goes on believing has eternal life. So the question isn't what you did years ago. The question is, what are you doing today? Are you praying with me? So the Lord is saying here, by using this expression, The one who goes on believing, who's living every day in faith, who's not just reciting a creed when they were in eighth grade and getting confirmed, but who is living that faith today in the here and now. The one who goes on believing, who is now believing in me and is going on believing in me, I tell you, they have eternal life. Be careful. Faith isn't so much something you have as something you do. Are you praying with me? I know you got to have it, but you also got to do it. And you see, so the Lord is saying, first of all, that's what real faith is. Faith is a functioning faith. And if it's functioning and up and running, there are some fruits that come. And the Lord says, the one who goes on believing in me, the one who goes on believing, has eternal life. Notice again, and the Greek text is clear in this as well, he doesn't say will have one day in heaven. He says has, as in right now. Right now. You're already participating in eternal life. In eternal life. Now, what is meant by eternal life? Now, we've talked about this before. The idea of eternal life isn't just the length of it, but rather the fullness of it, the richness of it, that fullness of life. So eternal life doesn't just mean forever and ever and ever. It means to be fully alive. Are you praying with me? It's about the quality more than the quantity. It's about the fullness of life more than the length of it. Yes, it goes on forever. But the point is, you and I, if we go on believing, our faith and our life become fuller, become richer, become more joyful, more confident, more serene. I've told you this before. At age 51, I'm more alive than I ever was at 21. The body is heading south, but my soul is more alive today than I ever was at age 21. Don't ask me to get in a time machine and go back. Wouldn't it be great to be young again? No, thank you. You can have all my turns. The Lord's done too much for me to want to go back to the way I was. Oh yeah, I'd have a sound, sleek body. I'd be young, tan, and trim all over again. But I'd rather be old, white, and fat and know the Lord than to be young, tan, and trim and rebellious and hateful. The one who goes on believing in me will have, or he says here, he doesn't say will have, he says has, right now, eternal life. Now I know we're going to have it fully in heaven, but it all doesn't have to wait to heaven, and I'm a witness. The Lord gives some good down payments, even right now. He says, listen, why wait for the inheritance? Start living off of it now. And so again, the one believing in me has eternal life. Now, we've seen, therefore, three teachings so far. There's a focus on faith. We've got to have faith. And the Lord then talks about the font of faith and how the Father has to drag us to Christ, put that faith in our heart. And then the Lord talks to us about the functioning of faith, that it's an ongoing, daily thing. And he talks about the fruit of faith, which is to have eternal life, even now. And then the final thing the Lord just wants to talk to us about, and he's introducing something that he'll complete next week. He talks about the food of faith. And this is what's been in the background the whole time. What the Lord is trying to do is to show them, you've got to have faith in me. Because if you don't have faith, you're going to be famished. Because guess what? I am the living bread that will sustain you for your journey. You see how it goes, church? The Lord is saying, you've got a journey to make, and you need food. And I know it may sound strange, says the Lord, but I am the food. I'm your food. You've got to eat my flesh and drink my blood. And that's a hard teaching for those folks who heard it for the first time. You got to eat me? Sounds a little vulgar there, Lord. Some people said, this is a hard saying. The Lord says, do you have faith that I can feed you with my body and blood? I know it's hard. I know it sounds strange. But I want you to know, I've got to be your food. And I'm asking you to believe what I tell you, that the bread I will give for you to live on, so that you can make it to Mount Horeb, you can make it to heaven. The bread that I will give is my flesh for the life of the world. Now, we're going to see next week that things really melt down now. Folks get interested. This guy's a nut. This guy's crazy. This guy is foolish. I'm out of here. And many left him and would no longer follow him. This talk is hard to endure, said Peter, in that synagogue on that Saturday morning in Capernaum where Jesus gave this sermon. Now the question for you and me, do you have the faith to let the Lord feed you with his body and blood? And do you have a faith that's strong enough that gets you here every Sunday morning so that you'll have food for the journey? It's either food or famished. You'll either eat and make it to Horeb or refuse to eat and drop dead in the desert. Unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you, says the Lord. John 6 and verse 53. Do you have that kind of faith? And so again, I'll just say with you, a couple things, whenever the Lord asks me, do you have faith, I say, along with the apostles, Lord, increase my faith. Or I'll say with the centurion, I do believe, but help my unbelief. Because faith is something that needs to grow. And thanks be to God, I see most of you here every Sunday. You do have that faith. And I thank God for it. Every time I see you come up the aisle, I don't try to embarrass you, but I look you in the eye because I love you. And I say the body of Christ. You know, it's too easy to give out communion. Body of Christ, body of Christ, body of Christ. But I try to look at you all right in the face. I try to remember how much I love you and how happy the Lord is that you say, amen. That you say, yes, he is my bread. He is my food for the journey. My senses aren't very helpful. Still looks like bread. Still tastes like wine. St. Thomas Aquinas had a beautiful thing, and I won't give you the Latin. I'll just sort of give a quick translation. But he says that sight and taste and touch in thee are all deceived, but only the hearing is safely believed. And I believe whatever the Son of God says, and nothing is more true than his truth. And that simply is this: the bread that I give is my flesh. This is my body. This is my blood. Of all your five senses, only hearing helps you out. But guess what? Faith comes by hearing. People say, if I see, I'll believe. That isn't the way faith works. If I hear, I'll believe. That's faith. Faith is not about seeing. Faith is about hearing and believing. And so, brothers and sisters, I simply say to you today, the Lord is dealing with a stubborn crowd. And you know what? We're that stubborn crowd. But again, the Lord keeps saying, do you believe? There's a focus on faith. There's a font of faith. If you're struggling to believe this, turn to Abba and say, Daddy God, help me to believe more. I know I need this food for my journey. And yet on a Sunday morning, I may feel lazy. I may drift away. I get into different patterns in my life and not make it to the altar. Heavenly Father, strengthen my faith in your Son's presence in the Eucharist. Help me to receive him every Sunday. So there's the focus on faith and the font of faith. And there is, if you will, that wonderful fruitfulness that comes from faith. Eternal life to become more and more alive. Thank God for the Eucharist. Gathering with you every Sunday and receiving his body and blood has given me life and strength. There is the food of faith, Jesus. Well, church, I'll just finish with that old song. Because remember, Elijah's in the desert, and an angel says, Elijah, you've got to eat, man, or you won't make it the journey. So the angel brought him bread from heaven and said, take and eat, lest the journey be too strong, be too long for you. And Elijah took that bread and he ate it. And sustained by that bread, he made the journey all the way to Horeb, the mountain of God. So there's an old song that just says, Jesus is a rock in a weary land, a shelter in a time of storm. And one of the verses just says, when there's no food on your table, set your plate, because God is able. Yeah. That's right, because Jesus is our food. Jesus is our drink. Jesus is the one who gives us that food and that fluid for the journey so that we'll be strong enough. He's the rock in the weary land. He's the shelter in the time of storm. Only with Jesus. And the question is, do you believe this? It's either faith or famished. Amen.